Welcome to another eye-opening episode of
Revealing the Truth About Islam,
the show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam.
Exposing the life of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran.
It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello, my friends. It's great to be with you. I pray the Lord for the technology, and I pray the Lord that He has helped me to learn a little bit how to start this ministry. As I said earlier, we're thankful that you are with us, and you will help us to grow. So as we continue to do this ministry, we need your help that you will tell others about it. So if you receive the link from Facebook, from our website, from whatever way you get it, you pass that link to your friends, your neighbors, as we will see whatever the Lord is going to do. And once again, it's great to be with you. Praise the Lord for this great ministry with me tonight in the back. And he does not want to come in, and I understand that. But if we ever have any problem, we're going to complain to Brother Adam, who will fix it somehow. And if he cannot fix it, well, sorry. And with me tonight, Christy Johnson from Mississippi. Hello, Christy. And how are you?
Usama, I'm doing wonderful. And as you have that help in the back, which is my help as well, which is our brother Adam, I also have someone on Blog Talk who is listening and making me aware of any problems that come up with our radio program, Global Patriot Radio. And hopefully that's our brother Eric. And Eric, thank you so much for being in the background.
Thank you,
you text me if anything's going terribly wrong.
Praise the Lord. This is awesome. This is good. All right. So I know, Christy, as we normally do, and I'd like to let our people on the live stream understand what we normally do in these broadcasts, which we've been doing now for 14 years on the radio. We're going to be doing similar to that on our TV here, which is in the first. Sometimes we take half hour, sometimes take an hour, depends. We cover all the important things, what happened in the last week since we have been our last broadcast, because we know that actually every day we can do a program like that to talk about what happened in every 24 hours. There's a lot of things happening around the world. So some of you who I know, many of my friends decided, you know what, I don't want to watch news anymore. I'm getting sick and tired. So we're going to shut the TV off, and we're not going to listen and know what's happening around the world. Well, I disagree with you about this thing here. And the reason we concentrate in the beginning of our program to talk about what just happened around the world here in America, we talk about almost everything. It have anything to do with Islam or politics or religion. So whatever other beliefs or things happen around the world, we will cover this because I know many of you trust us that we'll give you truth and file information. And believe it or not, as we have seen, even we just not talk about what happened in the past, but talk about what happened in the world. Some of the things Christian and I will be sharing with you, you're not going to hear until three, 4 days later, even though it's old news, because the media in America will not have the guts or the boldness, or because of political correctness, they don't want to share with you. Like if I tell you today there was a bombing in Afghanistan, in Kabul, where the good Muslim Taliban blew up a mosque, and Shia mosque, and they killed 100 people. You may have never heard of it yet on Fox News or CNN. They will talk about it after the whole world talk about it because of fears that they are not supposed to say what they're supposed to say. But here you're going to hear the news about what happened in the world, what happened the last week. Truthfully, we know for sure. And I emphasize about that with Christy many times. We're not going to talk about something unless we know for sure it's 100% true. If it's a wishy-washy, we do a lot of investigation. Sometimes I have to communicate with the people in the Middle East to make sure it is accurate information before we share it with you. So make sure you get solid, truthful information from our ministry. After that, we're going to be having our normal study, which is Revealing the Truth About Islam. Sometimes it's a series study, which means we're going to be talking for a whole more or less to cover the entire study, or sometimes just a good one program to cover the material, which I would like to share with you. And with that, I will give the wonderful producer, Christy, to the show to lead me as she kind of start the conversation and we'll go from there.
All right, Usama, you know, I really appreciate you explaining that, because I sometimes have people that feel like they just have no idea how to sift through the news. And, you know, every time I let people know different places that are reliable where they can find information. And like you said, you have your own sources because you can check with sites that might be in Arabic and have additional insights. So one of the things I want to say first is that we've had several things occur in just the last few days. It's like every week now that there are occurrences going on. But I want to share about a personal experience. And we talked a little bit about this when I said there was going to be a protest about vaccine mandates. Now, I want you to understand, I have people in my family who've been vaccinated. I don't believe that that is, you know, something that I would ever tell somebody don't do. That's a personal decision. And this mandate on the vaccines is going to cost many people their jobs. I'm talking about millions of people losing their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But right here in my own community, we had a protest, a peaceful protest. We had police there. There was no incidents of any violence. No one attacked anybody. There weren't even any verbal arguments because there were people there that were vaccinated and people who were not. But all of the people there feel that as American citizens, our president does not have the right, neither does our Congress actually have the right to order people to take a medical treatment which they do not want. This is different than saying to someone, as I had someone tell me, well, you know, if people got Ebola, if there was an Ebola outbreak, the government should order people to get a vaccination. My opinion is if there was an Ebola outbreak, people would be running to get an immunization because they know what Ebola is and they know there's a treatment that's effective. The problem is with the vaccines they're giving against COVID, guess what? I think I got COVID from someone who was vaccinated because vaccinated people are getting COVID just like unvaccinated people can get it. So why are we ordering people to get those vaccinations? That's a big problem. And this protest was awesome. Their newspapers were there.
Was it peaceful protest, Christy?
Go ahead, what?
Was it peaceful protest? Mad and angry?
No. That's what I'm saying. It was
no shoplifting, no destroying businesses, no anything like that?
No, we had Christian doctors that were there. They have family members who've been vaccinated, but they're very concerned that some people are having dangerous side effects from being vaccinated up to and including death. So they wanted to say, the medical people, you know, this is happening in New York, the medical people protesting, they don't want the vaccine because they've seen what's happened and they've also been exposed and many of them have had COVID already themselves. So these doctors are saying no one should be forced to take this vaccination.
You know what's amazing?
Most
amazing, Christy. Since last year until this year, I see the huge difference. Last year, we considered every nurse, every doctor, even the people who clean the floors in these hospitals. They were all heroes. Now they look at them as they are criminals, as they are the word they give for everybody who speak local violent people. What do you call them? Local.
Well, I don't know what you mean.
They're
terrorists. No,
it's like unbelievable.
Yeah, that they're domestic terrorists.
Domestic terrorists.
Yeah,
that's what I
it's crazy.
The domestic terrorist people. How in the world a person who literally put his life or her life on the line for a whole year and a half, treating sick people, and they know they have corona. It's not like maybe Christy is sick or not. We know Christy is sick with COVID, and they do everything to heal Christy for a year and a half, and now we want to force them to take it over their domestic terrorists, and God help them.
Yeah, it's been, again, a big focus of a lot of protests happening in New York. Teachers are losing their jobs. Many people have, you know, no problem with someone who wants to be vaccinated. Yeah. I mean, the unvaccinated aren't telling people, don't you dare get a vaccination. It's the fact that everyone should have the choice, and it should be made with a doctor's consultation about your own personal health. But here's mm-hmm. the thing that was brought up, and I think this is so important. When you see signs that in Walmart or announcements in Walgreens or Walmart, we have free vaccinations today. See us at the pharmacy.
The laundry. You may win $1 million. Yeah. Come be vaccinated.
But
you will.
But here's the problem. When you have people going into a Walmart or somewhere, a drugstore, and getting a vaccination, have they discussed this with their doctor? Who's following up with them if they are having serious side effects? And this is another great concern of these doctors. Many of them are Christians. Some of them are Democrats. Some of them are, you know, Republicans. Some are conservatives. Some are liberal. They're all having these problems with how this is being done, and they think it is dangerous.
That's true. That's true.
Anything else you want to say on that? I just want to tell you, I really am thankful that God is bringing people with knowledge far greater than mine and yours to speak out the truth. And that's one of the reasons that we're talking about this now.
My question for you, Christy, is with the media there, and how much coverage do you think you're going to get out of this rally?
Well, I was interviewed. A number of people were interviewed by the local newspaper, which was really good. We had a coverage by, you remember, WLOX and WXXV. They both came out and did stories on it.
Good. How big was the crowd, do you know?
We had between 1,500 and 1,800 people there. So it was a good crowd. And short notice. There were only a couple of days' notice. But we had great turnout.
This is very good, very good. All right, we'll move on from that.
Next thing
you want to share with us?
I wanted to tell you also our next story, I think, will be something to just remind people about these other alternative news sources, as you were talking about. Mm-hmm. One of them is Revolver. I really like Revolver because they do in-depth research. Their stories have been, panned by the mainstream media, and then later the mainstream media has had to come back and say, wait a minute, Darren Beatty's story was true, and they don't want to admit that they said it wasn't true, but it was. Anyway, that's a great source of news. Also is Worthy News. They cover news all over the world, mm-hmm. and they are based in Israel. However, the man who does this program is in the United States right now, I believe. He is an American citizen. He and his wife have been doing ministry in Israel for, 20 years or more, and their newspaper is available on the internet. It's called Worthy News. It has excellent stories from all over the world related to Christianity, related to the Middle East, politics in the Middle East, and other major concerns related to the Bible. Lots of good stories will pop up out of Israel when they make these discoveries of ancient biblical sites. And guess what? Do you think the mainstream media is going to tell you about it? No.
I know. I was just with Brother Randy. We're working, doing some stuff here earlier to get the program show ready. And something was, he was reading online that Israel did some attack today in Syria. And I don't know, have you heard that news? It's something that's come up in the last few minutes here.
Yeah, I do not have that story, but I do know tensions in the Middle East.
Very high.
It's really bad, and that brings us to the other story of the bombings. There have been two mosques now bombings, and you know, Usama, how this works in Afghanistan. I am quite sure that you've heard about this, but just in case you haven't, the most recent one was a Shiite mosque. And apparently there was another mosque attacked earlier, and I'm not sure if that was Sunni or Shiite.
They have to be Shiite.
Yeah.
You have to understand, Taliban now is in charge of Afghanistan. They are Sunni Muslims. They surely, sooner or later, they will wipe out all the Shiites from the region. So that's a fact. As it was, you know, it's amazing. It doesn't matter. Whoever is in charge, it doesn't matter if it's a small number or a big number. Remember, in Iraq, Saddam Hussein, who is the minority Muslim, 20%, but he was in charge of the country of Iraq. And they were actually persecuting and killing and wiping out the 60% Muslim Shiite in the country of Iraq. Now, after Saddam Hussein was removed from the picture, it's time for revenge. Who came to power? The Shiite came in power. And what did they do? They killed the Sunni of Iraq.
Yeah.
So right now, Taliban is in control. Taliban is in power. I guarantee you, if the Shiite would do one of these bombings, the retaliation of Taliban will be severe. So practice Quran 47:35. As Allah said, do not be weak. Call for peace when you have the upper hand. Now, the Taliban have the upper hand. The Shiites are weak. The Shiite will beg for peace. And that's not just what Muslims do with infidels, but Muslim with Muslims. Sadly, it is the story of Islam. As we said before, the summary of the history of Islam. One sentence, a gushing river of blood. I heard this first time from our friend, his name, now his real name, the Muslim name is Mustafa. Mark, his name is Mark now, the Christian name. So he was a professor, taught history in the other university of Cairo, Egypt. And when I heard it from him, it's like, man, it cannot be any better than that. The history of Islam, a gushing river of blood. And I believe deep in my heart that the number of Muslims who are killed by the hand of other Muslims in the last 1,400 years is beyond measure. We're talking about millions. If you count how many Muslims killed by the infidel Americans, the infidel British, and the infidel French, they're nothing, thousands. But the number of Muslims who killed Muslims in the millions. So sadly, this is not going to stop in with the Taliban in Afghanistan. This is the history of Islam. It will continue until Christ comes back.
It's sad.
Book written by Sayyid Qutb, the world peace. And it's like, how Muslims talk about world peace? I mean, what is the peace there? So I read his book in the Arabic language. I got maybe 20 years ago. And as I got to the end of it, I found that really the whole world will have peace when the whole world surrender and submit to Islam, because then they're not going to be killing other infidels because all the infidels are gone. But I said, wait a minute. If we go to the Muslim world where everybody is a Muslim, there's no peace there. They're killing each other in the hundreds of thousands, in the millions. Oh, that's when the Muslim will go in a bigger circle killing other Muslims, because there is no peace in Islam. They cry for peace, as the scripture says, and there is no peace. That is the true story about what's coming to the Muslim world, if it is Afghanistan or if it is Yemen, if it is Morocco or it is Indonesia or whatever other Muslim country. This is the reality of this. And the Bible says, from the fruit you know the tree. I know the fruit of Islam. It is shedding of blood. It's killing. It is destruction. That is Islam in a nutshell.
About for years, and now we're seeing it happen, and maybe it's just God's timing that now we are able to expand the ministry into the YouTube channel. And I pray, and I hope you all will pray for us too, that we can continue this to reach a broader audience. And we love you people who join us on Blog Talk Radio every week. We're going to keep doing that as long as the technical stuff will work. And I'm thankful because our friends are telling us they can hear us. And I think that's awesome.
One thing before I forget, Christy, I know we have a chat room in the radio portion there.
Yes.
If you can bless us once in a while, you can check it out in case somebody have a question. and we would like to answer. It's a little bit double work here, but you know what? It's worth it. If people can hear and we can work together, that'll be awesome.
Awesome. We have a lot of people listening to us. Our friend Ted is online with us. And he's in the chat room. We had someone else join us, but they are not there now. But if you do have a question and you want to join us in the chat room from our radio program, you can do that with questions. And I'm not sure, we're not going to try yet, but maybe next time to see if people can ask questions online. Because
sure.
We haven't tested that yet. But
we'll try everything.
We're going to learn to do this the very best we can. Right now, no questions in the chat room. But to continue with the news, I wanted to tell people that the other avenue for news is going to be things you can find actually on television. You may have to go to internet television broadcasts. I do that by using using Roku. That's R-O-K-U. You need a Roku device. And for me, that has been a blessing. I never have to worry about seeing Fox News or any other news channel because the stations I watch will let me know what is going on those channels if it's important. Like if they tell a huge whopper of a lie, they'll bring it up. So some of the channels are Real America's Voice, also Newsmax, which I do watch not as frequently, but also OAN, which is One America News. And Frank Speech, Usama, is also now on Roku. Frank Speech, that's Lindell TV, and it's also on Roku now. So I just want to let people know there's alternatives.
I go to Frank Speech and Mike Lindell TV maybe every couple weeks sometimes, once a week. So if you will go and listen to us there as well with the World View Weekend with Brand House, that is a place where I launch a live podcast on World View Weekend and VCY America. That's where you can hear my studies, which is what we record. It's a TV show, the Straight Wave Ministry TV show, which I record in Memphis, Tennessee, and that is one program every week. So every week you can hear me for a good half hour shows. If you are listening on BCY America, they actually play the same program three times in different time during the week. So that's a good place for you to watch the Straight Wave TV, which is recorded TV, not live shows. Like we're doing here, right?
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to say too. VCY Radio, it's VCY America, and that is on many parts of the country on their radio dial, but you can also hear it on VCYAmerica.org, and you can tune in there.
If you download the app, 12:30 every day. If you download the app on your phone, you can watch.
Yeah.
Hear me, 12:30, that is stream only sound. The TV is a half-hour program, which is they play three times a week if you download the app as well.
I like the fact that you have options because that's the thing that we're trying to do here. Many of our friends are listening to this broadcast over Blog Talk Radio, and they're listening by the phone. So when you can be driving down the road and listening on the phone, that's awesome if you're busy and traveling like Usama does. But you can see us on live on this YouTube channel, but then a little bit later, you can come back and watch this broadcast because it will be on YouTube. So I'm so happy for this. This is God blessing us. Let me share a couple more stories real quick and get your responses, Usama. I just wanted to let people know I don't consider myself the only person that can find good news, but I will tell you, when we have people that are finding the truth, we want to share that, and we want you to share it. And if you have some things to share with us, that's awesome. You can email Usama, although he gets a lot of email. I don't get as much. So if you have a story that you found and you want to check it out or you want us to share about it, you can send a message to me at Christie, which is K-R-I-S-T-I-E, at thestraightway.org. So we'd be happy to do that. Quickly, we're seeing that the United States under, I know you like to call him Joe Biden, but we'll say Obama. No, we'll say Biden. under Obama, there was this nuclear deal with Iran. And yes. since Biden got into office, they wanted to reinstate the nuclear agreement with them, which was not a good one in the first place. But Iran doesn't want to talk to us much at this point. They've been very reluctant to talk to the United States. I think it's just a way to humiliate us because they can. Usama, talk about that, how when the enemy is weak or the Muslims' enemy is weak, they want to be strong and they don't want to make peace. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, when I look at Iran in the last few months, actually, as a matter of fact, under Mr. Donald Trump, Iran were pushed down, and it was not a very good picture for them. Now they're like a spoiled son who is trying to pretend to be with the pride they have in their head. You know what? I believe sooner or later Iran will have the nuclear bomb, and it was a dumb deal. It was a stupid deal with Mr. Obama to give them $152 billion to stop their nuclear. Which, by the way, this transfusion never stopped. Yeah. They were making the 238 uranium the entire time, even as they were counting the money, shouting death to America, as they count the $152 billion, and they still the transfusion are spending to make the 238 uranium, which is used for the nuclear bomb. These people will have the bomb, sooner or later will have. Yeah. I mean, this is I don't have any doubt, because they have not stopped it. They maybe slow down and go faster, slow down.
Or hide it.
Or hide it, of course. But the 10 years agreement which Mr. Obama had with Iran, it reminds me of the first 10 years of peace or Hudna. I don't call it peace. I don't call it peace. I call it Hudna. Hudna is temporary peace. How about that? Temporary peace, which Muhammad made with the impetus of Quraysh in Mecca. He literally did not have enough men. He didn't have enough weapon. He was did not have the upper hand. So what he decided? He decided to have peace with the emperor of Christ. And he said for 10 years, they agree on it. Well, it was lost about a few years out of the 10 years, and Muhammad came back to Mecca with 10,000 soldiers, those who are, they call love death more than life. And these soldiers with Muhammad invaded Mecca and took it over. Wait a minute. I thought there were 10 years. It was not, you know, 3-4 years. I believe that was the link we have between the signing the agreement, because Muhammad does not care. He got enough people. He got enough weapons. And that is the true interpretation for the foundation of Islam, the verse along the Quran. If you think about Muslims who are friendly with us, who are in peace with us, those are practicing what we call in the Arabic language, taqiyya, which is Quran chapter 3, verse 28. And you know what, Christy, if you have your Quran open or my Quran in your hand open, can you get me Quran 328, your last?
I've got 50 million things going on, but I'm going to do it. Just
I can read it. Here we go. I can read it from my head. Let me see.
Thank you.
You know what? I got my other computer here, actually. I can get it from here. Which is very easy. Lord is willing.
There we go. Look at how that works. Hey, awesome. You're good.
But that's not my translation, Adam.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, he's helping you anyway.
I remember now my translation. Believers, do not take the infidels for friends rather than the believers. Whoever does this will have nothing to do with Allah, except that you may guard yourself from them. Cautiously, and Allah himself warn you, and to Allah is the final destination, or the final destiny. That's my translation. Thanks, Brother Adam. That was awesome, brother. I need the Lord's willing to put our Quran in this computer so we can use it directly here as we go like that.
Thank you, Adam.
I have to share this story with Christy, and then we're going to quickly, I will play a quick commercial here. But just 2 days ago, 3 days ago, I went to fix a knock by the rock on the front of my car. you know, make a small hole and it starts scratch. So they glue it. So while the gentleman is working on it and gluing it, and there's another lady came next door, car, she walked outside. I said, well, I'll go say hello to her. So, you know, because of Corona, you have to leave 6 feet or so distance. So from a good 6 feet, I said, hello. She said, hello. I said, may I introduce myself to you? She said, sure. She said, she stood up, reached out to me with her hand. I said, whoa, she's not afraid. She's going to die for me. So I called her hand, shake her hand and say, my name is Usama Daktok. And she gave me her name. And I said, would you, is this a smartphone you have in your hand? She said, sure. I said, would you mind if I lead you to my website? I want you to know me a little bit better from Google. She said, sure. She was, she typed my name, Usama, U-S-A-M-A, Daktok, D-A-K-D-O, my name pop up. And she see all my books and stuff. And I said, here, do you like to watch videos? Do you like to listen to radio broadcasts? Or do you like to read books and articles? She said, I like to read. I said, hey, look at this. Here's this, all these books here and there. And I was showing her about some of my books. And I, she said, why do I need to do all that? Why do I need to read all this? I said, well, she said, it's kind of ministry. It's kind of religion, is it? I said, yes, ma'am. It is religion and truth. And I said, well, the Bible says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's why I want you to read these books and get familiar with our subject. So she wanted to know more. So I said, yes, I have a Christian ministry, and I minister to the Muslims. So I teach the Muslim about Christianity and the truth about Islam. And she said, well, I have lots of good Muslim friends. And I said, yes, they are your Muslim friends for two reasons. Number one, because they do not know Islam, or because they're truly, truly Muslims who practice Islam. So I said, she said, what do you mean? I said, for example, Muslim imams in America, you see them wearing suits and ties, and they are only smiling, always smile, and always friendly. These are the only imam in planet Earth who are doing that. The same imam, if you go back to overseas to his country where you come from, if it is Egypt or Afghanistan or Pakistan or whatever, they will not wear the suit and the tie, and they wear the Muslim tradition imam clothes, and they will always be angry because that's who they are. And she looked at me like a stranger. I said, listen to this. They are practicing what is known in Islam by Taqiyya. And I quoted her Quran chapter 3, verse 28. I did not even finish it, Christy. She stood up from her chair, and she was mad, and she was upset, and she walked away. She said, you have offended me. I said, excuse me, what? She said, wow. You have offended me. I said, why did I offend you? Because I quote you a verse in the Quran because I'm teaching some truth about Islam. And she walked away. She will not even look back. She went in her car. And then within 2 minutes, the owner of the business came outside. Now, all this outside in the parking lot. Because the owner of the business will not put the cars in the business because of COVID. And they tried to, they have other health issues, their family members and workers. So that was fine with me. So she said to me, the owner came and told me, well, sir, would you please, when you come back here, don't talk to my people about religion. I said, excuse me, what? She said, the customer lady, she called me and she complained because you talked to her about religion. I said, that lady needs some mental help. She said, why? I said, because there was no reason for her to call you to complain. I introduced myself to her. I was sharing with her about our ministry. She chose not to listen. She walked away. That was the end of it. I said, next time she needs to dial 911. And called the police to get me arrested for quoting a verse from the Quran with her. She said, well, whatever it is, I don't want you to talk to my people anymore. I said, I'm sorry to tell you, I must obey God more than men or women. So obviously, next time I come here, if I meet any customer of yours, I'm going to share with him. That's what I do for a living. This is my life. I share truths about Islam with people, as I have done with you. She knows me from before, and I talked to her before. And I gave her some information about our ministry. So it's her husband. Actually, last week, when I went to fix the first, cut some glass on some mirror and fix the first dot in the glass, I talked with him. He knows who I am. But anyway, so she said, well, I don't know. I said, man, if people would love to hear me, I'll continue. If people say no, I don't force myself on others. And by that, Christy, I say, here is the truth. People are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That wonderful sister who have no problem to talk to a stranger, the moment I started sharing with her truth about Islam, she was offended as if she is a Muslim. I'm sorry to say that she does not even have logic or common sense. you should argue with me or tell me that's not true, or I'm not interested, do not get upset and turn around, they offended me. Why do you offend an infidel American for telling the truth about Islam? I do not know.
Well, Usama, I will tell you, I've had many experiences similar, even in my part of my ministry, which is End Times in America. I don't think it's you, and I don't think it's just Islam. I think people are fearful of truth. That is why you have media that continually lies to people, and they continue to listen to the lies. What's interesting is something that I wrote about, which is a picture of the state of the world in the time of the end, as it's described by many of the prophets in the Bible and by Jesus himself. People have no desire to hear the truth. Their ears are itching for things that sound good. So when you say something that challenges them, rather than want to, you know, even argue with you and say, wait a minute, that's not true because of this, or gain knowledge, they don't want it. That is a scary thing. And I hope that I'm wrong. I hope that, you know, people will hear what you're saying or hear things that I might share, and they'll go, man, I'm so glad to hear that truth. But there is a tremendous...
Can give me more information?
Yeah, let me check it out. And I want you to know, we try to do that. You know, I hear things sometimes and, you know, you think, wow, that sounds interesting. But you have to check it out to see if it's true. Don't be afraid of the truth. You know, I love the fact that Jesus is the way, the truth. If it's true, Jesus knows it. And he wants you to know. He doesn't hide the truth.
No.
So I just know that it's a problem we're going to run into, but we're going to try to be gentle with people and say, listen, Jesus Christ, no matter what is going on, he is there for you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. But you might be forsaking him by deciding you don't want to hear what's true. And I tell you, I've talked to people who are of different religious beliefs. It can be challenging when they believe something that you know is not true according to the Bible. And you have to be patient with people. I mean, you have to be patient and talk to them. But I wish
you would give me the chance to talk to them.
But that's what I'm saying. When you find people that have no patience, that they just don't want to hear it, the Lord's word says, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the infidels or the crazy people, the sinners. No, it says, let he that has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. The churches aren't listening. But if the churches aren't listening, we're in trouble. But we're going to keep doing our ministry.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. I will play this next commercial to get you to see some things about our ministry. And then when we come back, I'm going to look at that verse one more time to give you the interpretation of the great Muslim.
Okay.
That's called Al-Jalali.
And I got one more story, and I don't want to leave
Absolutely. We get to the minute.
All right. Here we go.
Many people have serious questions about the religion of Islam. Who are Muslims and what do they believe? Liberal Muslim scholars and clerics spin the news and continually promote Islam as the religion of peace and that Jews, Christians, and Muslims worship the same God. But is this true? Where can we turn for the answers? To truly know what a faith teaches, you have to go to the book. And for the last 1,400 years, that book for Muslims is the Quran. This collection of the sayings and teachings that Muhammad claimed to have received from Allah is the sacred text for over a billion Muslims worldwide. But the Quran was written in Arabic, so how can we in the West learn what it really says? Muslim apologists have produced several English translations over the years, but these have been carefully edited to hide many of the blatant errors, immoral teachings, and violent commands throughout the book.
In the beginning of our ministry, we decided to tell the truth about Islam. Therefore, we decided to buy the English translation of the Quran to use the verses which is written there. Sadly, I could not find one Quran to present the truth as it is written in the Arabic language. They sugarcoated They water it down. That's why we decided to go ahead and translate the Quran from Arabic to English, a true English translation.
The Straight Way of Grace Ministry, in cooperation with Arab and English scholars from around the world, has produced the most accurate English translation of Islam's holy book ever printed. Read for yourself exactly what Muhammad taught his followers about war and violence, about sex and marriage, about the treatment of infidels, and more importantly, what he said about Jesus.
Islam is not what I share with you or what some moderate Muslims tell you. Islam is the verses of the Quran. We must separate Muslim from Islam. There are so many wonderful Muslim people out there, but they are not true Muslim because simply they don't practice what the Quran teaches. So many American people say they accept Islam. They do not have any problem for Muslims to practice Islam in America, but same people rejecting Sharia, Islamic law, not knowing that Sharia, Islamic law, is the practice of the verses of the Quran.
This translation has been produced with the modern student in mind, with several key features including study notes for the reader, detailed notes concerning errors and contradictions in the text, careful comparisons between the Quran and biblical accounts, and references to the original sources that Muhammad borrowed from. Special sections discuss key topics such as a compilation of non-Arabic words and idioms found in the Quran, an easy-to-follow chart outlining the fulfilled prophecies concerning Jesus in the Old Testament, and a challenging gospel invitation to introduce the reader to the scientific, historical, and biblical reasons for accepting the true Jesus as the only Lord and Savior.
In the book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." It is time for us to read the Quran. It's time for us to find the truth for ourselves.
For ordering and more information, please visit thestraightway.org. Read the Quran for yourself and understand the roots of this dangerous faith. Individual copy and case pricing are available.
Welcome back. We're glad to have you with us in this first broadcast by the live stream, and I'm glad to have with me tonight Christy Johnston.
That was awesome.
Absolutely. And we have Brother Adam in the backyard to correct us and fix us if we have any problems. Thanks, Brother Adam Seeker. God bless you, brother. Appreciate you. Was all the hard work you put into this ministry. All right, Chris, I know you have a story to share, but I want to go ahead quickly, just give the quick interpretation to Quran chapter 3, verse 28, the verse of Taqiyya. In
yes.
His word, Al-Jalalayn said, if Muslims are afraid of their enemies, if the Muslims are weak, they can take infidels for friends. Yes, I know. That wonderful lady I met at the glass shop have lots of Muslim friends. What are the two? They are deceived Muslims who do not know Islam. That's why they are her friends. Or they are deceiver Muslims. They know Islam very well, and they're pretending to be her friends to practice Quran 3:28, which taught the Muslim to take the infidels as friends with their tongue, not with their heart. Once again, with their tongue, not with their heart. Here is Al-Jalalayn, and thank Brother Adam for putting this out. I'm just speaking from my head. Let not the believers take the disbelievers as that's the verse. Obviously, he's quoting from other translation as partner, rather than that is instead of the believers. For whoever does this, does that, that is, however, takes them as partners, no, as friends, for heaven's sake, does not belong to. That's what I call it, the Brabaganda translation. No partner. Friend, like everybody's used, I'm a special friend, if you know me. Anyway, does not belong to the religion of God. Well, obviously, it's not God. Forget about the capital G-O-D. It's called the religion of Allah. You know what, Adam? I love you, brother. When you put these translations from Arabic to English by those propagandists, it burned my blood. It make my blood boil me. But the truth is, Muslim Christy can take infidels for friends with their tongue, not with their heart. That is when they do not have the upper hand. Otherwise, you're going to see the real Islam. As right. Muslim Taliban is killing the Muslim Shiite in Afghanistan, trust me, all Muslim in America will be killing all infidels in America. Trust me.
You know,
I have no doubt.
You know, Usama, and this is an interesting thing, because with the planes which are bringing many of the Taliban here. I'm sorry, they can tell you that there are friends, and then there's like three Americans in a plane of 50. But the truth is, that verse is going to be reversed here, because the more Muslims that come here who are believers in Islam, that will mean they will be strong.
Sure.
And it's not a like they got to have an overwhelming number of Muslims. They only have to have a percentage, and then they begin.
They know they can demand the right.
Yes.
I guess that 5.5% good 10 years ago, I'm still sick with it, 5.5%. Watch when Muslims in your community reach to the number 5.5%, not 6%. At least let's be specific here, 5.5%. That's when you will go to your store and you will not find any pork meat. And that's when they'll have halal food in the school. That's when they have halal food in the prison. That's when they have halal food in any, and that's when they get demanding. They fight break during the, at the time of the prayers to from work.
Yeah.
Trust me.
And from school, where we're going to see more of the prayer time in the public school, where Muslims will be able to leave, students, Muslim students will go and have time for their prayers. But you know, Usama, it isn't their prayers that are the problem. When you say they'll demand their rights, we're also already seeing Sharia courts in the United States, and also this is what happened in Europe. The Muslims living within a community and saying they don't need to be following the law of the land that they're living in. They are following Sharia.
I'm glad you mentioned this, Christy, because I want to clarify this to our audience here, because they think, wait a minute, we don't have one Sharia court in America. Yes, indeed we do. Muslims do not do it in all aspects of Islamic law. They do it in the simple procedures, simple things between Muslim and Muslim.
Yes.
And Muslim will tell you up front, we love the U.S. Constitution. We don't have any problem with the U.S. state laws. But if I want to divorce my wife, I don't want to go to the court and hire a lawyer and spend 20, 30 grand between me and her to get this finalized. I just want to do it in the easy Muslim way. I love it. She loves it. Honey, do you have any problem if I divorce you? I'll do Sharia divorce. Oh, yes. Okay. You're not agreeing. Okay. All right. Me and my wife are in agreement. How this works, I just look in her eyes and say, sweetheart, you're no longer my wife. Or sweetheart, I divorce you. Or my friend, we're no longer husband and wife. You're not lawful for me. I'm not lawful for you. Any of these words, and I studied Sharia in Alexandria, Egypt, in college, and know exactly what I'm talking about, because some may say, oh, Usama's making it up. No. Any word with a tint means that I don't want to continue in my marriage with my sweetheart, beloved wife here. That will end it. She is no longer my wife. Well, what is going to affect you, Christy Johnson, you infidel American? That's between me and my wife. She loves it. I love it. We want to do it. So the American people say, sure, why not? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You're going to destroy yourself by your ignorance of the topic of Islam and the marriage and divorce, because the same Sharia which said, I tell my wife you're divorced and the marriage is over, it also said that her children belong to me.
Yeah.
Think with me for a minute, America. If that wife is your daughter, the American infidel. If that wife is your sister, the American infidel. Which means her children no longer belong to her. They belong to me. Hello? It will affect the American people. Now, there are plenty of American wives who are waking up, realizing the big problem to be married to the Muhammad. And 5-10 years later, when she found the real Islam and the real truth, and because the hogwash practice of love and peace of Islam ended, he became a citizen now. He does not need it anymore. Mm-hmm. He actually has another wife, a Muslim lady. She's an infidel to him. She does not wear the hijab. She does not want to be the good Muslim obedient wife. I don't want her anymore. So now she's going to be divorced, but her children will stay with me. Kiss your grandchildren goodbye. Kiss your nephew and nieces goodbye. Kiss whatever is related to you goodbye. Why? Because in Islam, the same Sharia which said, I say to her, you're divorced and the marriage is over, it's also allow me to keep the children. They are mine. They're going to grow up to be Muslim. They're going to grow up to be Muslim. And that's exactly why Muslims want to practice the early stages. And the day will come, trust me, the same Sharia which said, I say to her, you're divorced, she is goodbye divorced, also said to cut the hand of the thief, also said to behead the infidel, also said the total Sharia. And Sharia in Islam cover all aspects of life. When we have our own study on Sharia, revealing the truth about Sharia, Islamic law. And in the near future on this podcast, we're going to be playing every one of these slides, and we're going to be going in depth to learn the truth about Sharia. It will shock you. Trust me. You will be shocked.
You know, you saw me. We already have this problem that has come to this country now with the Taliban. Remember the pictures? They're bringing these little girls, these kids who are their wives, and they're trying to consult. What do we do? That is exactly the problem that you're talking about. Are we going to tell these people, oh, you can't have these little girls as your wives? They are not. And so they will be settling their personal affairs according to Sharia. And we already know.
I mean, I cannot imagine the U.S. government would tell the good Muslim Afghani man who is here with, they found out actually with three or four of his wives, two or three of them is the age of 9 and 10 and 11. What are you going to do? You cannot sleep with your wife? Are you kidding me? Are you going to insult the messenger of Allah Muhammad, who is the noblest example for every Muslim believer to follow? I guarantee you, Christy, they will put me and you in prison for not taking the COVID-19 shot, but they will not say to that Muslim man, he cannot sleep, even if this wife is 9, 10, 11, whatever year she is.
Yeah.
None of your business, American government. You're dumb enough to bring these Muslims to America, and you have to be dumb enough to keep your mouth shut, because they will practice their Islam, like it or not, because then you're going to be not only insulting these Muslim people, whom some of them serve this country. Yeah, they translate for us. Or the bigger picture is you're going to be insulting their prophet Muhammad by telling them that your prophet is a child molester or a pedophile or whatever name you want to give them. I'm sorry to tell you that this is a problem. We dug in ourselves into it, and we will not be able to get out of it. These Muslims are going to stay in America, and they're going to continue to live with their little wives, like husband and wife. You cannot arrest them for it. And soon, the rest of the Muslim in America will be doing the same thing. But instead of they're going to have a Muslim young lady, you'll have your neighbor granddaughter, that 8, 9, 10, beautiful, attractive, and sexy American girl. They're more handsome.
Little kid.
More beautiful
this beautiful, attractive, sexy little kid. Yeah,
exactly.
That's sad. You saw the last story that I want to share, and I didn't get a chance to send this to you because we were working on a lot of technical stuff to get this program together. But for those who are on the radio program, if you look at the slideshow, and that radio program and the slideshow will be available long after this, I want to bring your attention to the slides that I have there from a new game. This is a game that kids love. You know, all the kids love to play these games. I watch my grandchildren. Of course, they're adults. I know it may be hard to believe, but I have adult grandchildren. I can't tell them what to do. But some of them are into these type of games. So, Usama, you can't see this picture, but I'm going to tell you about
future,
this.
I was just going to suggest, Christy, if you will forward these pictures to me in the future.
I'm going to, but I had already kind of got this off the internet, and I was worried that it would disappear. So I'm going to send these pictures to you. I didn't want to overwhelm you on our first show, but the slides are up there. This is a game. It is called Fursan al-Aqsa, the Knights of the Al-Aqsa Mosque. It is a video game. This is episode 1. It's all written in Arabic, so you will be able to see that, but the English part is what I'm reading to you. Episode 1, Call of Jihad. Okay? So now we have these soldiers in the game. Now, when you play these type of games, again, I've done my own research with my grandkids' help, the adult grandkids. You pick a character to be one of these characters, and you'll see I have three soldiers, and they are fighting for this reason. This is the saying of this game. The last slide that I have up there is, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. There is the red and green fist, and Palestine will be free is the motto of this game. And these people are killing in the game Americans and Israelis. So Christians and Jews are who they are killing in this game. Islama, can you believe this?
Sure. You know, I'm looking here right now, actually, on my phone for the play, which the Muslims did here in America. I talked about it in on Crosstalk, and we actually did a TV show on it. On,
right.
On Thursday.
Yeah,
and
we talked about it, I believe, too.
Those, I don't know if I can make it big. Yes, I can make it big here. I don't know how good the picture will be, but do you remember this picture, Chrissy?
Oh, I do. We did. We talked about this. Yes.
We're going to be playing this one day in one of our shows where I'm going to play all these slides and I show you what they were singing. And it's so amazing, Chrissy, when they start the kids doing the drama here in America, in American school, in America.
I remember this. Yes.
And when they did it, it was obviously in Arabic. And the American people were happy, clapping.
They were just thinking, oh, look what a wonderful job they did.
And nobody had a problem
speaking
with
Arabic.
It. And the moment we translated what they said from Arabic to English, shut down. We don't know who put this play. We have no idea. That was an error. That was a mistake. The guy who wrote that play disappeared, and the school did not want to talk about it.
Yeah. Well,
it's a reality. That is
Well, you saw me. I'm gonna send you these slides for our next show, because you will be able to read a lot of the information about who developed this game and why this is important to me. This is not just a play that a school is going to shut down. This is a game that is coming out. It's going to be sold. It's coming out in December. It's going to be sold to Yes, it's going to be sold to teenagers and young adults whose parents will have no idea what this is about, and I want us to expose this, so I'm going to be sending you the slides, and we will have those slides, and you can comment on them for next week's show, because we, you know, we know what goes on in the Palestinian television cartoons for children. This is teaching young kids. It's one of our first shows we've talked about this.
Yeah. If the Lord is willing, after I will put these slides, we will do the comment. And the comment is, actually, I would love to cover the first three lies. Maybe one of them I'm going to do a next program or another one in the future. But I got the first three lies in our presentation, lies in textbooks, because I do not see how in the world you can teach our children all over our public schools in America, all over our public schools in America, that Israel is occupying the Palestinian land, and it's okay for our children to learn that. At the same time, you cannot tell them that someday Palestinians will be set free.
Yeah. Yes,
they will take over the entire land of Israel. They will kill the last Jew to fulfill their duty before Allah, as Muhammad taught them in the Hadith. Sahih Muslim, Sahih Bukhari. This is correct Hadith. Muhammad said, the day of judgment will not come until the Muslims kill the last Jew, that even the rock and the tree will cry out, oh, Muslim faithful, come. There's a Jew hiding behind me. Come and behead him. This is exactly how Muslim in America, how Muslim in Palestine, the portion where they live in, if it's Gaza or whatever land they live in, they are looking for that dream to become true. That's when they wipe out all the Jews and they take over the entire land and Palestine be set free.
You know, don't you think, I mean, when we talk about conspiracies, I have to say, people who go, nah, 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 hey, you know what? There's a huge conspiracy. The Bible tells us all about it. It is Satan who has the conspiracy. And he uses these things. And look, we've got this verse here.
Brother
Adam, so,
he
there you are.
Brother Muslim, and sunnah.com. And here it is. It's true. Oh, Muslim, this Jew is behind me. So kill him. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Yes. So that's it. And these games are coming out just in time to provide a wonderful gift to your Taliban neighbors' kids, right?
Sure.
This is crazy. But
Muslims in America.
Yeah, it won't be to them. It'll be to your children that are Christians.
Sure.
Who are being brainwashed in the public school system by the textbooks to think that the Jewish people in Israel are the enemy, and the Americans are the enemy.
Well, let's take another break, Christy. Do you mind another commercial here? I have to expose the truth about the Quran. These are two-volume books. I hope and I pray that our audience will be able to get them and read them. By the way, all the books we have in our ministry available as an e-book, as a paper book, and once again, don't forget, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We need to learn about Islam. We need to teach our neighbors about Islam that we can save America from the destruction of the Muslims who live among us here in America.
For the last 1,400 years, Muslims worldwide have considered only one book to be the perfect, complete, and inspired word of Allah, the Quran. In fact, Muhammad claimed that his only miracle was the Quran itself. But is it a clear miracle of God, or is it just a confusing deception of man?
Over and over, Allah states through his prophet in the Quran that the Quran is a clear book, a very clear revelation, easy to understand. But is this true? Can a Muslim or any reader who reads the Quran understand the truth about subject as the creation, the life of the prophet, or even the life of Jesus?
Scattered throughout the Quran, Muhammad records bits and pieces of information about famous biblical characters such as Adam, Abraham, Moses, David, Jonah, and even Noah. But this information is disconnected and fragmentary, contradicting the Bible and even contradicting itself.
10 years ago, the Lord put on my heart to write a book about exposing the lies and the errors of the Quran. But then we have faced another problem. All current English translations are corrupted. The English translators who translated the Quran to the English language hide many of the errors and the mistakes of the Quran from the English world. Then we spend several years to produce an accurate modern English translation of the Quran. And with that completed, we then begin production and have now finished our latest project, exposing the truth about the Quran.
In this powerful new two-volume set, you will discover one of the most thorough and comprehensive critiques of the Quran available in print. First, all of the references to important topics such as creation and the stories of the prophets scattered throughout the Quran are collected together into one place. Next, we examine the writings of the most respected Muslim scholars as they seek to understand these confusing and contradictory passages. Then, we demonstrate that Muslim scholars were forced to abandon the Quran and that they had to turn to the Bible for the true and authentic histories of these events in their futile attempt to reconcile the two. Finally, this comprehensive two-volume set proves that Muhammad contradicted the Bible and that the Quran repeatedly contradicts itself as it discusses these important issues.
It's time for the West to know the truth about Islam, to know the truth about its so-called prophet Muhammad. The Bible clearly teaches, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We must know and expose the darkness, the dangers, and the deception of Islam, not only to protect ourselves, but to bring the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the Muslims whom we love.
For ordering and more information, please visit thestraightway.org. Individual copy and case pricing is available.
And welcome back. We're glad to have you with us in this beautiful Saturday 2 hours. And this is, as I said before, our first podcast was live streamed. Thank you for being part of us. Please help us to reach out to other people, your friends, your neighbors, and whoever you have on your list. I know most of you have Facebook friends or what other places, Christy, people can go to talk to others. Just even send an email to your friends. Let them know about this podcast Saturday night. By the way, in the future, there will be some Saturday night where I'll be speaking. So we maybe are going to send you the link for the show a little bit earlier where you're going to be seeing me live from some church around the country. So a little bit different, and I know it's going to be hard. For example, Next Saturday, I'm going to be in Colorado with my friend Muhammad Amin, who most likely will be sitting next to me, Lord's willing, as we do our show from his hometown. And if we are doing something at this time, I don't know exactly what we'll be doing at this time from Colorado, but if we will be free from the ministry which we're supposed to be doing there, we just have a normal show. If not, we maybe have to start a little bit earlier, and we will share with you what we're sharing with the people in Colorado Springs and so on with
awesome.
The rest of our life. So, and Christy will be taking a night off. You know how nice it is.
Wow.
The side, could... Christy.
Maybe.
We have a problem now. If I'm in a place, Christy, and the internet is broke out or something, then it's all yours. You can have
wow.
it. Wow.
That's
well... fun with the whole program. Anyway, so.
Well, I had that last story to share with you, but I have our friend Ted who is with me on the radio broadcast, and if you don't mind, Usama, this might be a perfect time just to let him say hi to see
sure.
if you can actually hear him from
Absolutely.
Blog Talk. I'm not sure how that's going to work, but if Ted's willing to test it, shall
Let's
we test
it?
All I right.
Know. Absolutely.
Okay. Okay, Ted. Oops. Yes, there he is. Hello, Ted. I can test you right now. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
I can hear. Or you make it louder, Christy, a little bit.
Ted, can you speak up? Because I don't have any volume control on this thing.
I think I got
Say
it at the
to
top
Usama.
Of my volume.
Yes.
So, hi, Usama. How you doing? Christy twisted my arm to do this, by the way. So.
A little bit low. So what we need to do is we're going to bring Sister Christy out speaker. So when people talk on her line, somehow their voice will come a little bit louder and we can hear them better. So good to have you with us, Brother Ted, tonight. God bless you, brother. Appreciate you, man.
It is. It's good to be here. Hey, I got to put a word out here, everybody. Usama's book just came out, the last one, on war in the Quran. I ordered it, by the way. And you got to go and get that. But if you haven't picked up his paper copy of the Quran, you got to do that too. It's just loaded with a lot of help. So I'm going to plug that and spread his website, thestraightway.org. And so that's just my little 2 cents for the night. And this is a test, so I'm happy to be on.
Thank you. Hopefully, I can hear you good, and I don't know how much, how good your voice for other people who are on our stream yard, but maybe I can look at some of the live chat, and people can tell us, did they hear him good or not? Yes for good, no for bad. Show me some yeses and
yeah.
no's here. Maybe that will be a good time to test it for our people. Here, they can hear you. Adam Speaker said yes, they can hear you. So
awesome. We just
good.
Have to ask them to speak up a little bit, or we'll find
or
a way to add volume.
I'll speak a little bit louder. We'll make
yeah.
a big difference as well. All right. God is good. Appreciate you. And
thanks,
my new
Ted.
Book, Reveal the Truth of Jihad, Unholy War of the Quran, is available, as we shared with you our last program, and lots of people have been ordered. And if you do not have it, it's a good time to get it. If you do not have Volume 1, you can get Volume 1 and Volume 2 for a special discount for, I believe, $35 plus shipping and handling. So you can save yourself $5. And
I
will autograph it for you. How about that?
You know, and I want to share something, Usama, that is my observation personally. And if somebody else is having a different experience, I'd love for them to share it. You need to get these books for yourself. Because I'm going to tell you, even if your pastor read those books, I doubt that you're going to hear that information from the pulpit. I don't know why I'm saying that, but I'm letting you know. This is a time, I honestly believe, that we're in end times, and you're going to be accountable to get information for yourself. Test it out for yourself. Pray about it for yourself.
No, okay. Christy, let me say this quickly. Not only in this book I teach about jihad, the true understanding of war Islam. I'm actually will be sharing with you in the last chapter, Muslim blueprint for the destruction of America. The long strategic goal of Muslim Brotherhood in America. This is the same Muslim who are right now running for offices all over this country. They're marching on to take over America for the final jihad. And I know that they will come and the Democrats will clap. And literally, they will fall on their face below the feet of the Muslim in their party, and they will do exactly. Notice now what's happening. We got few people in the Democrats. I'm not saying even 10% of the liberal party of America. Listen to 10%, and they're controlling the entire party. They're making America communist, not the socialist. Forget about socialist. I don't mind to have the social party of the Democrats. I'm talking about the communist party of the Democrats. Even these trillions, $5 plus trillion they're going to be spending, is for the purpose of destroying America economically and make America a communist country. That's what they're doing. And how many of them, few of them, can you imagine the same few, instead of they are socialist communists, they're going to be few Muslims. And with the power of Islam, trust me, when America is so weak, militarily, economically, and morally, trust me, all what you need is 10 good senator and congressman and woman, and they will make this country a Muslim nation. Trust me. Sound extreme. Sound is crash. Sounds like I'm exaggerating. You can say whatever you want to say. When that day comes, you're going to say, we wish we heard Brother Usama. I wish we believed him when he said that a few years ago. I'm not talking about 20, 30 years from now. I'm talking about in the next 4-5 years, America can be practicing full Sharia before the Egyptian Muslims.
Yeah.
Well, Muslims by name only, by the way. Before the Muslims of Egypt will allow the Muslim jihadi of Egypt to practice Sharia in Egypt, America will practice Sharia for it.
Usama, we have these congresswomen that we know are Muslim, and they're they're connected to people we know believe in jihad against Israel. They speak out. They are anti-Semitic, but they're swaying other people with their lies. And the sad thing is, when you talk about socialists, and I agree with you, but I want to mention that people may not know this, because young people don't know this. They're not teaching it in school anymore. But our friend Zabila Heinrich, she shared with us over and over her fear about what she was watching under the Obama administration, which she said this reminded her of what was going on in Germany under Hitler. And we need to remember, Hitler and the Muslim jihadists, they made a deal.
Absolutely.
They were the same. Who were the Nazis? The National Socialist Party of Germany. National Socialist Party of Germany.
The Democrat of America today.
That's it.
Exactly. Christy, I know we're, do you have any other story you want to share?
I'm done. I've said it all for tonight. There's probably more, but, you know, we'll save it.
Well, we were supposed to do, as we have advertised it for our people, for tonight, we're supposed to be doing a study on creation in Islam. And I'm sorry to tell you that we're not going to do it, actually. Tonight. Maybe talk a little bit about it. No. We don't have enough time anyway.
I'm sorry.
We already lost 30 minutes from the next hour, from the second hour. But what I would like to do is just share a little bit about it, and next time we're going to open my book, Volume 1, Sharia, Revealing the Truth About the Quran, the Revelation of Error, as I will be sharing with you specific passages. Christy will be reading this slide, and I'm going to put some slides for you on the screen so you can read what Christy's talking about.
Awesome.
It's going to take some work. We're going to get it done, Lord's willing. But here's what I want to tell you. Muslims in America will tell you that we worship the same God, as we saw in the last commercial. Allah is God and God is Allah. And if you ask the Muslim, why do you say that? What is your evidence for that? I mean, where do you come up with this idea that Christian and Jews and Muslims worship the same God? First of all, liberals love to hear that. Atheists love to hear that. Everybody loves to hear that. I'm talking about those who are just trying to make the boat smoothly move. They don't want to shake the boat. They don't have waves. Everything. So what? Whatever you want to worship doesn't make any difference. But the biggest good reason the Muslims give, and this is like our introduction for our study concerning the topic of creation, they will tell you Allah is the creator. I mean, how many creators? There's only one creator. Jews and Christian and Muslim believe in Allah as a creator. God who created, and Muslim, by the way, will not even use the word Allah. They use the word God. God created the heavens and the earth. And they go on and on and on. We talk about generally about Allah. And if you sitting, listen to them, if you are a good liberal Christian who know nothing about the Bible, Genesis account, or a naive American who does not know so much about the Quran and the true story of creation in the Quran, they say, hey, there's no much difference. Muslim believe in Adam and Eve. Christian believe in Adam and Eve. Muslim believe in heaven and earth, six-day creation. Christian believe, by the way, when you even get into the details of six-day creation, Muslim will not argue with the evolutionist. They said, well, maybe six periods, not 6 days, 6 periods. No, that's wrong. Muhammad assured that there's six literally days. On Monday, on Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, he will tell you exactly what Allah created in every day. But if we get to the bottom line of who is the person of the Godhead who created the whole universe, the heaven and earth and everything. Now Muslims say, oh, no, that's not what we believe. Then we don't worship the same God. Because I believe from the Christian perspective, we know that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And that God we're talking about in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, is Elohim, the plural form of God. God, if you want to say it right. Now in verse 2 of Genesis chapter 1, we read about the spirit of God. Now in verse 3, if you listen carefully, God words the agent which God used to create everything. Because in verse 3, verse 6, verse 9, verse 12, I believe 16 or 24, these 6 days of creation, God said. And as God spoke the word, things came to exist. God said, let there be light, and boom, here is the light. God said, let this, and it came to be. Now, if you go to the book of John, chapter 1, you need to read carefully. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Everything came to exist through him and without him. Nothing of all that exists came to exist. So John 1, verse 1 and 2 and 3 tell us that who is the agent, who is the person who created the heaven and earth? Everything was created by the Word. As God spoke it, things came to exist. The Word of God, John 1, 14 says what? And the Word became flesh. We Christians celebrate the birth of Christ in Christmas coming up in a couple of months, or less than a couple of months. What is this? That's the birth of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, the Word of God who became human, who humbled himself and came to this world in the form of a servant. And he was obedient to the Father even to the death of the cross. That Jesus Christ is the creator of the heaven and earth. As the scripture told us, everything through him came to exist. He is the creator of all things. Who? Jesus Christ. His name is the Quran, Isa, son of Mary. Now let's ask our dear Muslim friends who believe that Allah is God, he's the creator. Do you, our dear Muslim friends, believe that Jesus Christ, Isa, son of Mary, is the one who created everything, and without him, there is nothing that did not came to exist? Of course not. They actually believe Allah created Jesus. And if Allah created Jesus, that means Jesus did not create it himself. And if Jesus is a thing, because he's a human, and the Bible says everything was created by Jesus, that means we have to believe that Jesus created himself, or Jesus is God. Because since we believe Jesus is not a created being, he is the creator of all things, then we have a problem with our dear Muslim friends. Even the good excuse, the good logic you put, that Jesus is the creator, God is creator, and Jesus is the creator, that means Jesus is God. That's Christian belief, yes indeed. But in Islam, Jesus was created by Allah. Jesus is not the creator of anything. Oh, no, all right, let me take it back. I'm sorry. Actually, Jesus created. Where in the Quran? I know Brother Adam can put the verse for us. It's verse 49 of Quran chapter. But I have to get it out. Adam, where are you? I know you can find it.
I think God said that.
Quran chapter 5. Can you go to Quran 549, Adam, see what it is? 549, if I remember. Adam will put it here in a minute. Trust me. He's so sharp. He's so sharp. He's going to kill me.
549 is wrong. I'm pulling up. Give me 1 minute.
I'm talking about the creator. He said, I create for you. The description of Isa in the Quran, the creator, the he created...
171.
5?
4171, where
4171.
Jesus...
That's exactly. Praise God. Now, you're right with me. I don't know what is 549. There's another verse there. If you can put this verse for us, it says, four wonderful. Yes, indeed. No. Not that one. Give me 549. Give me 549. See if it is the right one.
I'm working on opening yours.
No, that's not the right one either. That's 49, verse 49, Al-Ma'idah. Mm-hmm.
349, brother. There you go. That's the right one.
I know it's 49. I can't remember what chapter. Yes! Thank you. Don't be with English, because the English was going to boil my blood. Let me look at the Arabic and I'll tell you. If you look with me, can you see my mouse on the screen or you cannot see my mouse on the screen?
No, they cannot. I'll use the mouse. You can read it in Arabic. I will move the mouse.
Anyway, وَرَسُولًا إِلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ إِنِّي قَجِيَتُ بَعَيَتُ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ إِنِّي أَخْلُقُ I create his design. Excuse me, what? Create his design now? I love how the Muslim... Go ahead, put in the word akhlaq, put the marker on akhlaq, yeah, design. Excuse me, it is create. That's why I'm telling you, you need to get my English translation, accurate English translation. We don't sugarcoat Islam. We said, I create, not I design. I create you from thin, which is mud, kahayat of fire. Go down, yeah, kahayat of fire. Like the form of a bird. He just designed it, you mean, he make a statue of it? Well, listen to the rest of it. So I breathe into it. It will become a bird. He designed it or created. Why do you want to put the word created?
There are over 40 times the word khalaq or akhluku used in Quran, but the two times that it is used for Isa, they use the translation as design. The rest of the times it's always create.
Exactly. Adam, do me a favor. Take the word akhlaq here, create,
mm-hmm.
and put it in Google Translate. If you can do me that, it will be awesome. Take the word akhlaq.
Just give me a sec, Chris.
Sure. Because I want to show our difference here that it is not designed. It's not yusammim from the word tasmim, design. No. Yakhlaq. Khalq is you create something out of nothing. That belongs to Allah. Because Allah alone in Islam is the creator. Okay? Now you see the word yakhlaq. They don't want to both create. So they change the word design to help the American people never to learn the truth. It's unbelievable.
I do have your Quran now open. So when you're ready, I can read it from there. But I know you want to get that translation.
Sure. Let's see. Khalaqa. Well, look at this. Khalaqa on Google Translate. Thank you to Mr. Google. I love Google. Create. Not design.
Yes.
Anyway, let's go back to the verse, Adam. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you for that.
Sure.
Design. Design. Hey, Jesus is a designer. I know. I used to work for many people before who are interior designer, but they were not interior creators. No. They were not creators. Here we go. Okay? So the creation here is by Isa, son of Mary. Okay? And then he said, the next word, yep, the obre, the word here, what happened to the blue, the English, you don't have English.
Yeah, sorry, I used the other Quran browser.
That's okay, that's okay. Which means I heal the sick, well, birth with is the people who have the parasites. Oh, my world. How he translates Ohi.
Okay.
He needs to give me the other one, man. I want to see how he translates Ohi. Ohi, and give life. Oh, he did it right. Al-Mawta, the death. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand that Allah and the Quran have 99 names. One of them is Al-Muhyi. One of the attributes of Allah is the one who gives life to the dead. And here, Isa, son of Mary, gave life to the dead. Now, by Allah's permission, like he really asked Allah for permission. Every time Jesus in the Bible, perform a miracle, heal the dead, raise the dead, or heal the sick. Oh, Allah, may I do that? Yes, I can. Oh, thank you, Allah. Appreciate you so much. Oh, Allah, can I do that? Yes, I can. Oh, thank you, Allah. No, it's not like that. It's not like that. Many miracles just performed without even praying. He said it, and it was done. Anyway, وَأَنْبِيَكُمْ أَنْ inform you, or I prophesy to you, بِمَا تَأْكُلُ by what you eat. I will inform you about what you eat and what you store. Alam al-Ghuyub, one of the names of Allah in the Quran, is the knower of the unseen. And no one can know the unseen except Allah. Here we go. He's the son of Mary, knows the unseen. Okay? In their homes, of course, this is a sign to you from your Lord if you were a believer. If you were a believer, in kuntum, if you are, that's not good translation. See, now, if you are, that's not fine. Kuntum is past tense. If you were. Kana is was. We talked about that, I believe, with Brother Sam, Shamon is channel, or if not, somebody else. So Allah, the God who was. No, that's not our God. Our God is always is. In kuntum, if you were, not if you are. Kuntum is a bad translation here. Anyway, I don't know if you can find me kuntum in Google Translate. Can you put kuntum in Google Translate?
Give me a sec. By the way, I wanted to show to the viewers, like we said, this is Quran browser, another Quran browser, Akhluq. Yes. So you see here, when we do Akhluq here, in Quran, everywhere when this word is used for Allah, rather, all the other times, it's create, create, creates, creates. Only for Isa, it's designed.
The touch, man. He doesn't have the touch. He can need some help.
The same word rest of the time.
The whole Quran.
All create in everywhere else, except when it comes to Isa.
Isa could not create. He designed. But so amazing. Even when he reads a verse, he designed it. He breathed in it. It became a bird. So what he did? He creates. Even when they did the dumb translation, change the word. What? Well, guess what? He still creates. Because even if he designed it, he shaped it, look, two wings, and a neck, and a throat, and a beak, two eyes. He designed it, okay? He blew air in it, and it fly. What did he do, Christy Johnson? Can you tell me?
That was creating.
Okay, here's the word kuntum. How you read this, Christy, in English in front of kuntum?
Kuntum.
In English, it said what?
You were.
Thank you so you much. Were. I want Christy to read it, but she did not understand me, maybe.
I didn't know where you wanted me to go. I apologize.
So what do we learn from that, ladies and gentlemen? That they are not accurate in their translation. They are making Jesus a designer, Isa a designer, not a creator, even though the verse said he creates. But the most important is four attributes belong to Allah in that verse. Let's go back to the verse again, Adam, if you don't mind. Four words, four description we read here about Allah. Here we go. Here's the verse. You were on it, brother. You were on it. Can you go back one more time? Quran chapter 349. Here it is. Okay, first of all, he creates. Second, he heal. Third, he gave life to the dead. Last, he prophesied or informed them of what they're hiding. These are four attributes of Allah: the creator, the healer, the giver of life to the dead, and the one who knowing the unknown or knowing the unseen, which is Allam al-Ghuyub. Four description of Allah we see in Isa, son of Mary. But in the same time, Jesus is not God. How? Well, Muhammad said so. My heart desire for our dear Muslim friends, examine the speaker. Examine the messenger. Examine the prophet. Because if you know who Muhammad was, you know for sure you don't follow anything else he says. Muhammad was not that wonderful, great prophet, great man, good teacher. Just think about a man in his 50s married to a little child, 9 years old. Actually, it's worse than that if you want to know Muhammad for real. Get to know Muhammad. Get to learn the truth about Muhammad. Then for sure you will say goodbye to Allah and to Islam and to Muhammad. You know, it's so amazing. just on the phone. Let me share this story, and I'm going to go to a quick commercial here. I talked to a lady on the phone last week, a friend of mine. Her name is Latia. She loved to bring Muslims to me from everywhere. So Latia got this lady to talk to me, and she said, well, she is a Muslim because she always believed in Allah, and she will always continue to live, but she will never disbelieve in Allah. And then she said the same with Muhammad. I said, what do you know about Muhammad? She said, he's the prophet of Islam. I said, what do you know about him? She said, not much, really. I don't know too much about him. I said, why did you get to know him? But I don't want to believe in Christianity because there's so many things in Christianity that does not make any sense. I said, like what? She said, like the virgin birth. I said, oh, my Lord. Help me, Lord Jesus. Help me, Lord Jesus. You don't want to believe in Christianity because it is not logical to believe in the virgin birth. But you are a Muslim and you believe in the Quran. She said, yes. I said, have you ever read Quran chapter 3 and Quran chapter 19? You got two chapters in the Quran where Allah declared to you that Jesus is the son of Mary, because he didn't have an earthly father and Mary was a virgin. So why in the world you reject Christianity because of the virgin birth does not make any sense, but you believe in Islam and you believe in the Quran which teaches the virgin birth. I said, what else? And she did not even know what to say. I said, how about when Jesus left earth? She said, yeah. I said, according to the Quran, he did not die. Yeah? He was not crucified. He was not killed. But somehow, this 180, 190 pounds was able to fly Christy Johnson, not in an airplane, not in a shuttle, not anything, just physically. Like, I'm sitting like this, and I start moving up, flying out of the gravity of the earth,
yeah.
180, 200 pounds outside to break the speed and go all the way, Christy, to the fourth heaven. I said, so Jesus comes to this world in an illogical way, if that's an English word, and he lived the earth in illogical way, if that's another word. I'm repeating myself. Is it English? Illogical?
Yeah, that's English.
Hey, I'm making up new words. So
no.
He came and he lived illogically, and you believe in that, but you don't believe in anything in the middle. How about I want you to get to know Muhammad? Trust me. When you know Muhammad, for sure, you will say goodbye to Islam. Even if Christianity is falsehood, nothing in Christianity is true. To know Muhammad, to know Islam, you become an atheist. It is to believe in nothing, to believe in atheism, than to believe in Muhammad and reject Christ and Christianity. Quick commercial here, and we'll be back with you in just a minute.
The Straight Way of Grace Ministry is excited to announce the creation of two new convenient materials to help you in your ministry to the Muslim community. Our first booklet is titled, The Straight Way to Eternal Life. How many times have you met a Muslim man or woman, maybe in an airport or on a bus or in your neighborhood, and you felt burdened to share the good news of Jesus Christ, but you didn't know what to say or even where to begin? We have produced a small, convenient tract that will empower you to reach those lost in the deception of Islam. This 24-page mini booklet will share three facts. First, it seeks to convince Muslims that the Bible has not been corrupted, using just the verses from the Quran. Secondly, it reveals convincing proof that the Quran cannot be the Word of God due to an overwhelming number of errors and contradictions. Finally, it clearly presents the loving truth of the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Our second new booklet addresses the violent nature of the core teachings of Islam. Muslims continually claim that Islam is a loving and peaceful religion. They also insist that violence is committed by only a few radicals who misunderstood Muhammad's teachings in the Quran. This new booklet, titled The Violent Truth About Islam, examines dozens of passages from the Quran, the Hadith, and Muslim scholars. This powerful booklet will leave no doubt that Islam's long history of intolerance and bloodshed arises from the very words of Allah and the example of Muhammad's life. To order these new booklets, please visit thestraightway.org for more information. And now back to our show.
And welcome back. We are glad to have you with us. Thank you for being with us in these almost 2 hours. We start a little bit earlier than the radio podcast. We'll keep doing that, Lord's willing, as we continue. And once again, thank Brother Adam for helping me to set this up, and Christy for producing and being a partner of our ministry all these years. 14 years, and this is our first night live stream, so I am excited about it, and I'm looking forward to lots of study, guys, lots of material. We're talking about If you know nothing about Islam and you just come and join us, trust me, within a couple of years, you can do a much greater job than me and Christy. We will train you, we'll teach you. If you're a Muslim and you don't know much about Islam, we would love to have you. We're glad to have you. All I want you to know is just, we love you. We care about you. We care about your eternity. I cannot say that I love my neighbor as myself, or I love the Muslim people if I don't share the truth with you. I'm not here to mock you or to mock Islam, even though you're going to hear me sometime with my passion and with my loud voice, and I love it. I'm Muslim. Every time I talk to Muslim Christians, why are you yelling at me? Why are you yelling at me? I said, well, I'm sorry. Let me say it again. You're in a house, and the house is burning, and if you die in that house, you're going to spend eternity in hell. I mean, how do you expect me to talk to a Muslim where I know has spent all her life believing in lies, rejecting the truth of Christ, and Jesus died on the cross for his sins to save him or save her? What do you mean tell you? Keep following Muhammad? When we talk with passion where I come from in Egypt, it's not because we're angry, it's not because we're mad, it's not because we're you, because we love you. I want you out of that cult. In all your life, bring the chain, man. Get yourself free from that savage cult of Islam, so your children and your grandchildren will not live to believe in the same lie which your father and your grandfather and your great grandfather lived all their life to believe in it.
Yeah.
It's very serious time. We're running out of time. It's time for Muslims to be set free. And if I will speak with passionate, it's not because I hate you or I'm angry at you. I will not even sit in front of this camera all these hours, spend all the days of my life. It's been almost 20 years since I left my business to do ministry to the Muslim people. 1 year before September 11th, actually 21 years. Why do I do that? Because I love to insult Muslim people? No, because I love Muslim people. I want them to see them get saved. And it's perfect time. Today, if you heard his voice, don't harden your heart. So learn the truth about Islam. Investigate everything we teach. I'm glad these videos are now available, and they're going to be there forever until some Muslim complainer, somebody closes this thing. But as long as we're having the opportunity to minister to you, these videos are available. Download them on your computer. Save them. Investigate every word, every sentence, every verse, every interpretation we teach you about Islam. May the Lord Jesus Christ set you free. He paid for your sin. All it is a king. And you will be set free. Amen.
Amen. Usama, and that's the whole point. You know, we've had Muslim friends, you have particularly, even here in America, who were part of a Nation of Islam, and learning the truth and coming out and finding Jesus Christ's mercy, his grace, and his love, and his gift of eternal life. You're not going to find that in Islam. You will work and work and work and struggle and pray and just never have that joy of knowing that God loves you. That love is in Jesus Christ, and that's where you find it. That's where you find life, and that's where you find forgiveness and a whole new way of thinking and feeling about your life. You know, your personal life becomes set free in Jesus Christ, and we want to see that happen to everyone.
I see in the chat room some Muslim friends would like to ask us question. Of course, you can ask me a question. Feel free to type your question in the live chat area there, and we'll be very happy to answer your question.
Yeah.
While we're waiting on Brother Muhammad, I believe his name is Muhammad, in the circle. He's going to write his question. Adam, when you see the question, please catch my attention to answer his question. Or anybody, by the way, Muslim Christians, I prefer to have Muslim friends to ask the question first. And if we have extra time, we can go to our Christian friends ask questions. So, Adam, whenever you see any Muslim have a question, please, you stop me. Here we go. The simple grace, Usama, have you tried starting with the nice versus the then tell more a session, stepping up one little step at a time over a period of time to make this
the listener learn.
Well, in our in the future program, Lord's willing, here's Brother May. I don't know if you want to read the first, but in the future program, my dear, go ahead, Brother Adam. Adam.
The question is, Brother Usama, have you tried starting with the nice verses, then schedule more sessions, stepping up one little step at a time over a period of time to make the listeners learn?
Yeah, I understand the question. Well, in our study, in the near future, Lord's willing, as we continue to do these broadcasts, I'll be doing broadcasts. If you have heard me before with other people, with Adam, Sam Shamaun, with anybody else, we did these programs. I normally do sessions of presentation, PowerPoint presentation, when I concentrate on specific material. We're going to be doing that here. As a matter of fact, I will take my time even more, and we'll take it one verse at a time, and we'll do that. But step by step, start with little, go to big. I'm not going to have the same audience all the time. People go and come. Lord's willing, we will do a little bit study, and we're going to cover the subject in this. Today is just worth chatting. We're not really doing any study for this our first time. We're trying here. We'll see how this thing is going to work. It's going to get better. Trust me, you're going to love it. We're going to make it not just step by step. We're going to go subject at the time. One subject at the time, we're going to go deeper and deeper. And Muslims will not have but to submit to the truth as we will share it. Now, and I was talking a little bit earlier, and I know some Muslim guys have a question. Whenever you have that question, Muhammad, his name, I believe, in the circle, when you have this question, please put it up, Adam, and you can read it to me, be good as well. So here we go.
I can see them, too, if you need me to read anything, but I'll let Adam screen them.
In the subject of creation, Muslims said we worship the same God because he's the creator. Obviously, we found out, as I shared with you, that the creator in the Bible is the Son, Jesus Christ, the Word of God. But the creator in Islam is Allah, who have no son. So that's a problem. When we dig deep, as we're going to see that in our study, next program, Lord's willing, you're going to see that creation in the Quran is completely different than creation in Islam, in Christianity. What I mean by that, for example, we're going to see in the Quran, Allah created the heavens and the earth. And we ask, how many heavens? And how many earths? Seven each. Seven heavens, seven earths. Well, in the Bible, Christy Johnson, as we're going to see in detail, there's actually three heavens and one earth. Okay, one. Now, in the Quran, Allah said in one location, he creates the heaven first, and then he creates the earth. Another location, he created the earth first, and then the heaven. He did first, the heaven or the earth. That's the problem. Well, in the Bible, we know exactly the order of creation. In the Quran, Allah created the heaven and earth in 6 days, 8 days, and according to Muhammad in the Hadith, actually 9 days. What do you mean 9 days? He actually said 7 days, not six or eight, but he forgot to mention the creation of the heaven, which according to the Quran, it took 2 days, to 2 plus 7 equals 9. Now we ask our dear Muslim friends, what is the true number of creation? 6, 8, 9. They cannot all be right. One of them have to be right and the rest are wrong. The creation of Adam in the Quran is a comedy. As Christy knows, she helped me to start that book. How Allah got the earth, the dirt from the earth, or we don't know what kind of material he used it was to start with. Adam was this good 60 cubit tall or long guy, 90 feet long. Ladies and gentlemen, 30 meters. If you are in Egypt, you don't know what is feet. 30 meters, that's like four-story high first building, you know. Only actually five if you're living in a small ceiling building. Anyway, so it's like a magic. It's not even cartoon. What is the name of this cartoon, Crystal, where you see the big gorilla, very big, and she can touch the top of the building, and what do you call this? The big gorilla. Come on, Christy. I've seen the movies, but I don't know what the name of the gorilla.
I know, but you're talking about King Kong.
The guy turned green, okay? That is how big Adam was, if you understand what I'm saying. Okay, here's a question. Question, Muslim name, go ahead. Go ahead, Chris, read the name for the question.
A Muslim named Kenny Boomer claims Allah is the God, our creator, but not Yahweh of the Bible. Can you explain why he is mistaken? Thank you.
Oh, man. That's what we'll be covering in the next few months to answer. I explain it in the next 44 minutes. First of all, that wonderful friend does not know that God, capital G-O-D, in the Bible is Yahweh, Jehovah. Allah does not speak but Arabic, but the God of the Bible actually spoke the Hebrew language. And when he told Moses to write us who is Yahweh, who is God is, he called himself Yahweh. So he says the God, our creator, but not Yahweh. I'm sorry to let you know that Allah created nothing. Allah is Satan who created nothing, okay? Allah created destruction, okay? Like a Muslim can take an airplane to a building and destroy it in 5 minutes. Muslim never design a good building like the one they take out, okay? Muslim never design an airplane or create an airplane. They can take an airplane, which they never designed, they never created, to a building which they never designed, not created, and they destroy both of them just like that in a click of a second, okay? Now, that is the work of Allah, the destruction. The God of the universe in the Bible, his name is Jehovah, okay? Yahweh, Elohim, Allah is not God. I encourage you to go watch my debate, Allah is Satan, Jesus is God. That will give you enough information from the Quran to prove my point that your Allah is not God. The God of the Bible, capital G-O-D, is Yahweh, and he is the creator. How do I know that? Moses said so. I know you believe in Moses, and I know you believe in the book of Moses, the book of Torah. But here's the problem, my dear Muslim friends. You don't know Moses, and you don't know the Torah. Literally, everything about Islam goes against Moses and against the law of Moses in the Torah. And we can give you tons of examples, tons of examples. One, I was just talking about today, so it's in my mind right now. When we talk about divorce in Islam, okay, Quran chapter 2, verse 229, and 230, and we have time. Adam, if you don't mind, give me these two verses, Quran 229 and 230. In simple words, I'm going to tell you what's in it while Brother Adam will put them on the screen. Allah said if a man wants to divorce his wife, he just say, honey, you're divorced, and divorce is over. He can bring her back within 3 months, within 3 months. If he divorces a second time, she also get divorced, and he can bring her back in 3 more months. Okay, so you can divorce your wife twice by saying goodbye. Hasta la vista. You're divorced. Now, in Quran chapter 2, verse 230, if he divorced her the third time, what is the third time? That's goodbye last time. She can no longer be his wife. But this is the exception. His exception is what? He must call his buddy, somebody he trusts, a cousin, neighbor, somebody you really trust, and say, will you fix my wife for me? If my ex-wife go marry that good trusted man I know, even one night, and they must know each other in bed sexually, if he divorce my ex-wife, I can have her back to be my wife. This is the symbol law in marriage and divorce in Islam, Sharia, Islamic law. Now, if you go to the book of Deuteronomy, hey, man, you're sharp. You're ready. If a man marries a woman who became displeasing to her because he found something indecent about her, and he wrote her a certificate of divorce, gave it to her, and sent her from his house, and if after she leaves his house, she became a wife, the wife of another man, and her second husband disliked her and wrote her a certificate of divorce, gave it to her, and sent her from his house, or if he dies, then her first husband, who divorced her, is not allowed to marry her again after she has been defiled. Can you imagine with me? And then the Bible calls this is because it, that would be this detestable. What is this word, Christine?
Detestable.
In Alaika, I believe King James, when he said abomination.
Yeah.
Have become an abomination before the Lord. That's New King James. If you get King James, well, it doesn't matter really. What the Bible says, abomination, what is here? Here's the word. What's the word? Here we go. Here it is. It's abomination. What the Bible call abomination, Allah and Muhammad say halal. law. It is the opposite. You're not following Moses. You're not believing in the laws of Moses, the Torah. You know nothing about Moses. You know nothing about the Torah, even though you say it 306 times a day. You believe in Moses and you believe in the Torah. Everything Muslim practice, everything, not something, everything Muslim practice goes against everything written in the Bible. I'm just giving an example here. When the Bible says, thou shalt not lie, your Allah and your Muhammad said, it's okay to lie. We got the evidence, the verses of the Quran and the teaching of Muhammad in the Hadith. When Allah says, thou shalt not kill, Allah said, kill them wherever you find them. When the Bible says, thou shalt not steal, said Muhammad and Allah said, it is lawful and good, enjoy it. When the Bible said, do right, Muhammad and Allah said, do wrong, do left. We are in the opposite track. So nothing in Islam is true, or everything in Christianity and Judaism is false. But we have a problem, Christy. Because Muslims say they believe in the Bible, they believe in Moses, they believe in Torah, they believe in Jesus, they believe in the gospel, they believe in books that does not exist. And the book which exists in our hands, which the Quran clearly teaches that it is the perfect word of God, never been changed, and it will never change. We will talk about that in this, another study in the future. Has the Bible been corrupted? I'm going to use your Quran to prove to you that the Bible is the perfect word of God, never been changed, never been corrupted. So you believe in a book in the air. You believe in prophet, you don't even know. But the true books we have in our hand, and the true teaching of the Bible we have in our hand, you don't believe in it. Tell me, Usama, was any hadith written and confirmed by Muhammad when he was alive,
It should be beside the Quran. He's asking if the hadith is confirmed by Muhammad.
Well,
I think you can give both answers. Is the Quran is also confirmed by Muhammad?
Let me put it this way. Your Allah in the Quran, if you're a Muslim, I'm glad you asked the question anyway. Allah said, obey Allah and Muhammad. It's all over the Quran. Obey Allah and the messenger. Okay? You have to obey Muhammad. Now, I don't believe any of the Quran we have today is actually the Quran of Muhammad. That's personally. When I teach Islam, I said Muslims say, scholars of Islam said that's okay, but I believe the Quran we have in our hand today is a good 175, maybe 200 years after Muhammad. So it could be a complete different Quran than the one Muhammad said. There was no written Quran, period. Muhammad died and there was no written Quran. How do I know that? I studied the propaganda of Muslims, Abu Bakr, Omar, and Osman, and blah, blah, blah. We can talk about that also in the future, another study. As for the hadith, it's collected even hundreds of years after Muhammad died. But I have a problem, because Muslims, in their might and their strength, who have control of the world, and they were killing Christians like chicken and Jews like chicken, they're killing people right from the nation. They were in power. They were victorious. They were invaders. Somehow, in their books, we put lies, the lies of Muhammad in the Hadith. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, you cannot be a Muslim unless you believe in the Quran and in the Hadith. I don't believe in your Quran, and I don't believe in your Hadith to be 100% accurate. But you say, Sahih Bukhari said, you say, Muslims say, Sahih Muslim said, you say, Radha Sahin said. These are your correct Hadiths by your scholars, who obviously wrote these things hundreds of years after Muhammad died. So is the Quran itself. Some Muslims say they only believe in the Quran. You don't believe in the Hadith. I'm sorry to tell you, you cannot be a Muslim believer in the Quran and not believe in the Hadith. And we can get into that in depth in the future as well. But for now, you cannot be a Muslim unless you say the Shahada. And Muslims say the Shahada. There is no God except Allah, and Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. You have to say, I bear witness before these two statements. I bear witness that there is no God except Allah. I bear witness that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. I'm sorry. You're telling me a false witness. Why? Because you have never seen Muhammad, touch Muhammad, heard Muhammad, smell Muhammad. You know nothing about Muhammad. But that Shahada does not exist in the Quran. It only exists in the Hadith. You pray five times a day. Well, some of them say, I only pray three times because Allah said in the Quran three times. There's so much conflict and contradiction between one Muslim and another Muslim who say, I don't have to say the Shahada to be a Muslim, or it's not important to say the Shahada to be a Muslim. I'm a Muslim because of the Quran, not because of the Hadith. There's so much about Islam you cannot understand from the Quran, but you can only understand from the Hadith. And as the days will come and many, many programs to come, Lord is willing, we'll be talking about that in depth. Quran and the Hadith is the foundation of Islam. Sharia, Islamic law, what I studied in college in Egypt, in Sharia, comes from two sources, the Quran and the Hadith. And if you don't believe in the Hadith, you lose many of your sunnah, many of your laws. And if you only believe in the Quran, you cannot understand it without meaning the saying of Muhammad in the Hadith. And so Muslim scholars who quoting Muhammad in the Hadith. A big problem, Christy Johnson. And I have no answer.
Yassam, I did notice, and I want to mention, you know, I do have some friends that are from Nigeria, and talking about the persecution by Boko Haram against Christians in Nigeria, that just continues to get worse. So we will be praying for our friends in Nigeria, for sure.
Yeah.
And we know it's very bad there.
Well, Christy, you talk too much. You killed 2 hours with me. I don't know what is wrong. Why can't you talk less so we can give Adam and myself a chance to talk? God
I guess
is good.
I can't
God
help it.
It is the fastest 2 hours of every day of my every week when I do a program like that. Guys, you need to keep us in your prayer. And I hope and I pray, Lord is willing, we see you again next week, again, one more podcast, one podcast at a time. If I'm doing any broadcast from churches, I'm not going to be able to talk to you like that. Obviously, you're going to see me from this, you're going to hear me from this, and Lord is willing, you're going to enjoy some of my teaching, which I do all over this country. Next week, tomorrow I'm going to be in Ohio. Not to speak, I'm just doing some business in Ohio. Coming back, I'm going to be on the 15 and 16 with Brother Muhammad Amin in Colorado. Then I'm going to be going south to Mississippi, Louisiana, and Texas. I got another speaking engagement today in Texas, so I'm going to be speaking there for literally for some weeks. So I don't know how the schedule look like, but if the Lord is willing and we can do some live streaming from these churches, it will be available on YouTube. And at the same time, Saturday night, we'll continue to do that. Lord is willing. Any comment, any thought, Brother Adam, before I let you go?
Thank you so very much, brother, for this awesome, awesome live stream. And everyone who is in the live stream in YouTube, thank you for being here. This was the very first live stream of our brother Osama. And we are glad that it was successful without any glitches. And praise be to Lord for this opportunity that he took us through this first live show program live on two different platforms. Mm-hmm. So God bless you, Brother Osama and Christini. And God bless everyone in the live chat. And
appreciate you, man. You don't know how much I really love you, and I appreciate you for helping us with all this ministry. Christy, one last word quickly because we only have time to give the closing statement.
Nope, I just want to say thank you. God bless you guys. I really appreciate God's help in this, and you guys did an awesome job. Thank you.
Guys, what you're going to hear right now is the most important part of every show. I want you to be praying. If you are a believer in Christ, amen. If not, pray for those who are listening to this closing statement, because this will be listened by thousands of people, and there are many who are lost. I hope and I pray that this closing statement here, this prayer, will be heard by many lost people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for having us in your home. God bless you. We'll see you again.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now, perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity. Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.